I want to thank Cass and Pat and the Primetimers. If you are not a part of the Primetimers and you are of that age, I don't even know what that age is, but they have a lot of fun and they are doing some wonderful things, and I would encourage your participation in that wonderful group. There's a lot of great fellowship that takes place in that group, and they came to me. Well, I went to them. They were having one of their gatherings, and I slipped in, and they wanted to know if we could do something special for Grandparents' Day, and Cass got all these pictures put together so that we could see these grandkids and grandparents, and I appreciate all of their work and all of their efforts. If you have any questions about Primetimers, talk to Cass or Pat, and they'll be glad to give you any information you might want to have. Great, great group, and we appreciate all their efforts. Well, it's National Grandparents Day. Wow. Yay, grandparents. Did you ever think how it got started? Okay, maybe not. But today, you are going to find out how it got started. Marion McQuaid and her husband Joe were residents of Fayette County, West Virginia. They were parents of 15 kids, grandparents of 40, and great-grandparents of 8. In 1973, after a five-year campaign, Mrs. McQuaid pushed legislation that Congress passed proclaiming the first Sunday after Labor Day as National Grandparents Day. Now, the month September was chosen to honor grandparents because it symbolizes the autumn years of life. Pretty profound, huh? Pretty interesting. So now you know where Grandparents Day came from. And I want to encourage you, if you still have grandparents, I've already talked to my only living grandparent this morning. Matter of fact, I talk to her every day. She is just a sweet person in my life, and when she goes on to heaven, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'll tell you, she is a special part of my life. I want to tell you a little story about a man named Henry. He was a 75-year-old grandpa, and he was sitting in the park, and another gentleman came down and sat beside him, and he knew of the fella. He was a 75-year-old grandpa as well, and Henry discovered that this man had recently married a 25-year-old girl. Needless to say, Grandpa Henry was amazed. He said to the man, "Your wife must be very attractive." The man responded, "Not really." Henry thought for a moment, and then he said, "Well, she must be a great housekeeper and a good cook." And the elderly man responded, "No, she's not much into that either." And Henry thought for a moment, and then he asked, "Then why did you marry her?" Well, this 70-year-old grandpa yawned and said, "Because she can drive at night." Let's stand and be dismissed in a word of prayer. You know, it's not going to get much better than that, I'm telling you. That's as good as I got. I want to ask you today, just by the raise of hand, how many of you are grandparents? Wow, we got a lot of grandparents in the church this morning. That's great. I want to ask you this question. Did you ever think, or do you ever think that your grandchildren will be influenced by your life? How about your great-grandchildren? How about your whole family? In Genesis chapter 5, we get an account of a man by the name of Enoch. We know that the story of Enoch, he was a man who did not die. He simply took a walk with God and was never seen from or heard from again. Enoch was the father of Methuselah, Methuselah was the father of Lamech, and Lamech was the father of someone very famous to us, and his name was Noah. Now, the Bible tells us that Enoch walked close to God. What does the Bible tell us about Noah? Well, in Genesis chapter 6, it tells us, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generation." And it says, "Noah walked with God." So Enoch walked with God, and we see that his great-grandson, Noah, had the same thing said about him, that he walked with God. So grandparents, let me ask you again, do you think that your faith will affect future generations? Well, you better believe it will. Absolutely. You are living testimonies of what God can do. You are a person in someone's life just like Enoch was. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, it says, "By faith Enoch was taken up so he should not see death. And he was not found because God took him up, for he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God." Enoch was a man who was pleasing to God. I think that all of us would probably consider it a success if our grandchildren turned out like Noah. Someone who was obedient to God. As the scripture said, someone who was perfect in his generation. So I want to take a look at his life this morning to find out what made Noah so special. Well, the first thing we discover is that Noah was a righteous man in a totally corrupt age. The world had gone to pot. You ever heard that expression? It had gone downhill. It wasn't what God intended for creation to be. We saw earlier, though, in Genesis 6, that Noah was a man who walked with God. But there's another testimony to Noah's life that we find in the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel 14, verses 13 and 14. And it says, "Son of man, when a land sins against me by persistent unfaithfulness, I will stretch out my hand against it. I will cut off its supply of bread and famine on it, and cut off man and beast from it. Even if these men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they would deliver only themselves by their righteousness, says the Lord." So Ezekiel points to Noah and declares that Noah was a righteous man. Was it easy for Noah to be a righteous man? No, absolutely not. He was living, as we know, in a corrupt world. In Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 and 7, it says, "The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time." Think about that. Their hearts were turned towards evil all the time. "The Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. So the Lord said, I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I have created, and with them animals, the birds, and the creatures that move along the ground. For I regret that I have made them." It kind of makes you wonder if God is thinking like that about our world today. We live in a pretty corrupt world. But God has called us to righteousness. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. It says, "What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. We are told here, even though there is wickedness all around us, that we are to come out from among them. We are to be separate. We are to be setting an example. Folks, I want to tell you something. Our kids and our grandkids, and if you have great grandkids, they are not going to learn how to live their lives in school. They're not going to learn how to live their lives in government. They're not going to learn how to live their lives by watching television. The way that they are going to learn to be righteous in this generation is for us to stand up and be the example that God has called us to be. Thank the Lord. So what do your grandchildren see when they look at you? Do they see you living like the evil people in the world? Or do they see us being righteous? What kind of example are we setting for them? Something to think about. The second thing we see is that Noah followed God's instruction. So that tells us that Noah was obedient. Man, obedience is of vital importance in this Christian life. We must be obedient to God. In Genesis chapter 6, verses 14 through 16, it says, "So make yourself an ark." These are the instructions to Noah from the Lord. "Make yourself an ark of cypress wood. Make rooms in it and coat it with pitch inside and out. This is how you are to build it. The ark is to be 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, and 30 cubits high. Make a roof for it, leaving below the roof an opening 1 cubit high all around. Put a door in the side of the ark and make lower, middle, and upper decks." Let me ask you something. Did Noah build the ark the way God told him to build the ark? Exactly. Exactly like God told him to build the ark. Now, Genesis 6:22 tells us, and it answers that question, Noah did according to all that God commanded him. So he did. Now, personally, I believe that if Noah would have been tried to do things on his own, if he'd have tried to build the ark his way, when the rains came and the floods came up, yeah, that's a song, "The rains came down and the floods came up," yeah. Man, it always reverts back to my childhood, always. Those were happy times. Anyway, when the floods came, if Noah would not have done it God's way, I believe that the ark would have sank. And Noah and his family would have been destroyed. And all the animals would have been destroyed. But Noah did do it God's way, and they were spared, and they were able to replenish the earth. You know something that's very interesting? Is that from Noah and his sons, one of his sons came down through the years, I think it's probably a great, great, great grandson, was the man Abraham. If Noah would have been disobedient, we would have never had Abraham. Well, the way we know it. God would have accomplished his plan, there's no doubt. But just think about that. But because Noah obeyed, Abraham received a message from God to go to a land I will show you. I'm going to make your descendants as numerous as the sand of the seashore. It's because of obedience. His great, 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 great grandfather was Noah. And Noah's obedience and influence, no doubt, had an impact on the generations that followed him. Listen to what Hebrews chapter 11 says about these men. "By faith, Enoch was taken from this life, so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. Far before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about these things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he commended the world and became heir of righteousness that is keeping with faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. We see here in this passage of Scripture that it started with Enoch, and generation after generation after generation after generation followed the example of those who had come before them, and they were men who would walk with God, who would trust God, and who would obey God. Noah obeyed God to build the ark. Abraham obeyed God when God told him to go to a place I will show you. It was part of their DNA. Grandpa obeyed? I guess I should obey too. Whether we realize it or not, our grandchildren, and let's say our children too, are looking to us, and they are looking to see how we are going to react in these difficult times. Are we going to stay true to our faith and be obedient to whatever God calls us, or are we going to try to do things our own way? You see, it's obvious that the faith Noah possessed made it possible for him to obey God, even in times when it was hard to do so. Now, the faith that he had was passed down through generations. And that same faith made it possible for Abraham to obey God when he was told to leave his country. Abraham obeyed when it didn't seem logical. Noah obeyed when it didn't seem logical. Build an ark? What's an ark? It wasn't logical. A lot of times when God speaks to us, we think we have a better way. Church, we don't. God's way is always best. Always. So Abraham followed the example of his grandparents. Noah followed the example of his grandparents. If our grandchildren see us obeying God, it just makes sense to me that they may follow in our footsteps. I'll tell you, I have such a rich family heritage. I am thankful for my grandparents. I had two sets of grandparents who were God-fearing people, who loved God more than anything. I saw my grandparents obey God. Now, I am in no way in their category of greatness. But I'll tell you this. I am who I am today because of the example that they set for me. It's important for us to be the example. Let's look at the third thing. Noah totally submitted his life to God. Do you know Noah had never seen rain before the flood? Nobody had. In Hebrews 11:7 it says, by faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, it's going to rain, Noah. Don't know what it is, Lord, but okay. Gotcha. Moved with godly fear and prepared the ark. Before the flood, the earth didn't need rain. And you can find that in Genesis chapter 2. I'll let you study that on your own. I won't go into that. So we find that even though Noah had never seen it or experienced it, he had faith and he believed God's word. And he submitted his life completely to the Lord. He trusted God and he built a big ark. He trusted God to bring to the ark all those animals. Noah didn't have to go find them. God brought them to the ark. Noah didn't have to go do anything but trust God. That's all he had to do. In Genesis 7:16, it says, so those that entered the ark, male and female, of all flesh, went in as God commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. God shut the door of the ark. God held the ark, figuratively speaking, in the palm of his hand as it rode out the waves that were created by the flood waters. You see, Noah had complete trust in God. He didn't doubt at all. So I want to ask you this question. Do your grandkids, I can't say our grandkids because I don't have any yet, thank the Lord. I mean, I want grandkids, but there's an order that I want that to happen. But do your grandkids see you acting like Noah? Being a person who is obedient. Being a person who is trusting. Being a person who is submitted and committed to the things of God. Do they see us walking by faith with God? Are you influencing your grandkids to be faithful, obedient, respectful, responsible, and very importantly, fun to be with? You can teach your grandkids how to have fun. I don't know about you, but, well, let me say this. I have heard that grandchildren are much more fun than children. That's what I hear. Grandparents, is that true? You can send them home. That's right. You can spoil them rotten and just send them back to mom and dad. Absolutely. But I've heard that. You know, it's not that you don't love them any less. It's probably that you just have a great, I don't know if you have a greater love, but I can't speak to that. You know what I'm talking about. But the role that you play as grandparents will have an important effect on their future. The greatest thing we have to give our grandkids is our lives. Just give them our lives. We need to be people who are safe to come home to, no matter what our children or our grandchildren do. Boy, there is a message there. God accepts us, doesn't he? As we are. And we need to be loving to our children and our grandchildren. The reality is this, folks. Each of us will leave a legacy. The life we choose to live will have an impact on those who come behind us that is far greater than what we can ever imagine. Being a grandparent, I believe, is a gift from God. You are special, special people. Like I said, my grandmother is one of my most favorite people in the whole world. And it's obvious that I think that because I do talk to her every day. Let's be honest, we're in church. Sometimes it's two or three times a day. Because I just love to talk to her. Man, when she dies, you all are going to have one mournful man here. So I'm going to need somebody to step up, okay? Grandparents are special, special people. You are special. And I want you to know that we love you. But more importantly, God loves you. Thanks for being who you are. Let's stand and bow our heads for prayer. Lord, we thank you for the example that we find of Enoch and Noah and their faithfulness to you, and how, Lord, the generations to follow them followed their example. And Father, they were given a great example to follow you. So God, I guess what I'm just asking our grandparents to do today is be people who follow you. Lord, help our grandparents to show their grandkids what it means to love God, to walk with God, to trust God, and to obey God. We do love you, Lord, and we thank you for this great gift that you've given us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.